Season tickets are on sale now for the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra's 63rd season. Before the final concert of the last season, Maestro Gregory Voida gave us a hint of what's to come. The season doesn't have an overall title, but there is a theme.
There is a theme, and the theme is that every concert features one or two of true masterpieces. Masterpieces that you know or recognize, and some masterpieces that, like this Szymanowski that mm-hmm. we're playing, I think is a masterpiece, but it's not performed that often. And I think there's a variety of solo instruments. For example, we're going to have two violinists, one piano player, an organ player, and the cello player.
And you're finally doing an organ in a church, the organ concerto.
That's right. One of the things we're trying this season for the first time is to do one of our classical concerts, that's Classical 5, to play that in a different venue, and that venue is First Baptist Church of Huntsville.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a beautiful sanctuary.
It's a beautiful sanctuary, and also they have a beautiful organ mm-hmm. That is really good for, not only for worship, but also for concert purposes. Nathan Laube, who is known for Huntsville audiences, and we're playing pieces that, because of this pairing of an organ and a symphony orchestra, are not heard that often. The second half is Symphony Number 3, the Organ Symphony by Saint-Saëns, which is a very popular mm-hmm. Piece of music. But in the first half, Samuel Barber has a piece for organ and orchestra called Toccata Festiva that I didn't know until I did my little research for what you can play with organ. And it's just a great piece. I mean, it should be a very, very well-known and popular piece, because it's just a perfect piece to show what your organ can do and also what your orchestra. And we're starting the concert with Barber's second essay for orchestra, which is also one of the lesser known pieces by Samuel Barber. So we have an American first half and Saint-Saëns in the second half. But let's get back to the beginning of the season. And on October 20th, we are starting with Carmina Burana. It's time to play Carmina Burana again.
Yes. No, everybody loves Carmina Burana. Yeah, the wheel is turned back around, and we're going back around.
Oh, yeah. And I'm, you know, it's there's a reason why it's so popular, and we just like doing it. That's it. I mean, we have Huntsville Community Chorus. There's always great, mm-hmm. Power there, and people get excited. And we have soloists from the area. Christy Weber, Roderick George, and Andrea Chiang are singing. And in the first half of the concert, we are starting with Pictures at an Exhibition, which is also a composition originally written for piano by Mussorgsky and orchestrated by Maurice Ravel. That is popular for a reason. But also, we haven't played it for such a long time, and I think this visual, the way music can be visual and kind of like make you see things in a good way, I think that the Pictures at an Exhibition and Carmina Burana are a great fit mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. Carmina Burana is also on the long side, over an hour, and Pictures is about 30 minutes, so that also kind of evens out the length of the concert there, the shorter first half and the longer second half. Then we have Claire Huangchi coming to play the piano, and we have a first half of all Ravel music, Rhapsody Espanol, which I would like you to remember when you hear that on February, November 3rd, that we just played Alborada de Grazioso. It's similar in style. Yet Rhapsody Espanol, it's longer also, but is a much happier somehow. It's more dreamy, less World War II kind of shadows in the music. Ravel Piano Concerto in G is on the program.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, is that the Gershwin inspired one? Yes,
that's the one that has the jazzy like stuff in it. Yeah. And in the second half, the major piece is Debussy's La Mer, the sea. But since La Mer is not enough for a second half, we're starting with Respighi's Fountains of Rome to add about 17 minutes to the second half, which piece I think this particular piece from the three pieces about the city of Rome that Respighi has composed goes really well with Debussy's music, with all the colors and the impressionistic
the water
pictures
play.
And the water play and all that. Beethoven 7 is on the program.
That's my favorite. I have to
January
say, if
20.
I had a favorite Beethoven symphony, it would be 7.
And if I ever say something like that about a classical piece of music that somebody invented something, Beethoven definitely invented rock music with this. in hindsight, you know, this repetition and the way it's... the way it works with your body and your brain and moves you. Yeah. Elena Vahala is back, our wonderful violinist that we have had the honor and, you know, I mean, whenever she comes back, I'm just really happy that she says yes, because not only she's a first-rate violinist, but also it's a pleasure to work with her. And I asked her last time, you know, first she was here, she played the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, and last time she played the Bartok Violin Concerto number 2, and I asked her, what do you want to play when you come back? Mm-hmm. And she said the Alban Berg's Violin Concerto, which is a late romantic, very powerful piece of music for violin and orchestra from the 20th century. We're starting the concert with Brahms' Variation on a Theme by Haydn. So we have the three Bs, Brahms, Berg, and Beethoven for that concert. Tchaikovsky and Prokofiev are on the program for February 3. Mayuko Kamio is coming to play the violin in Prokofiev's Violin Concerto number 1. And in the second half, a big Tchaikovsky symphony number 4. So it's a Russian program, really. And we start the concert with Peter and the Wolf.
It's something else that never gets old.
It never gets old. Also, I'm going to be narrating it and conducting at the same time, which I wanted to do for a long time. I'm going to tell you that. For some reason, I feel like I gotta give it a try if I can do it. Maybe I do it in Hungarian, then it's going to be easy for me and nobody will understand it. I actually have
No, we'd understand it.
I have a recording in Finnish. It's so funny. I have a CD where the entire Peter and the Wolf is done in Finnish, and I don't understand the word, but it's interesting to hear a different language. And then comes on April 6th that organ concert that we were just talking about. And the season ends with Schumann and Richard Strauss, two major symphonic pieces by Strauss. One is Don Juan, which is something else that orchestras always want to play and they have to play. It's kind of like Rite of Spring. I mean, you have to face it. You have to climb the mountain if it's there. And then Don Quixote, which is kind of like a variations... symphonic variations for cello, viola, and orchestra. And it is the story of Don Quixote. Sancho Panza is played by Charles Hoke, our principal. Our principal.
Oh, my God.
You just went visual there, I can tell you. But it is a delightful and not easy piece for cello and orchestra, really, where the viola is playing kind of like a secondary role as a concerto instrument. Emilio Colon, cello player, is here, whom I worked with on several occasions and is a great cellist. And once he is in town, we got to have him play a concerto as well. So the concerto on this program is Schumann Cello Concerto. So we actually get to hear Emilio play two things that evening. We are selling 4 Pops concerts for the price of 3. Number 1 is a Beach Boys celebration. 2 is TV and movie hits. Preservation Hall Jazz Band is here for March 10. And then, the TV and movie hits is New Year's Eve concert. So we're back at New Year's Eve concert with the orchestra. And then the 4th one is E.T. the Extraterrestrial in concert, where you actually get to watch the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And the orchestra plays the music live, and that's on April 14. We have 3 casual classics concerts next season, like we always have, and venues to discover, like the little speakeasy room of one of the breweries in town, one of the new venues at the Botanical Garden, which I'm really looking
forward to.
And things like you get to sit with the orchestra. You know, one of the very popular things that we are usually doing is that you get to sit next to a musician for a concert. Then we have dinner and concert. We serve music and we serve Schubert's octet that I'm going to play my clarinet for, by the way. Oh, and then we have a storyteller's concert, which I'm really looking forward to, and it's going to be at UG White department store downtown, mm-hmm. with local authors and poets reading their own stories with live music kind of in the background, or if you imagine a radio play,
yeah.
which is one of my favorite things ever. I grew up with listening to radio
and
plays
all
the
time. And I've done it. It's fun to do.
It is fun to do. So we're trying to do something like that live. I think that if you like music and or if you're just getting to know live symphony music, there's something in it for you, and just go on our website hso.org to discover next season. Great concerts, great venues, and a lot of masterworks.
You can find this interview on our website, WLRH.org, and on the station's Facebook and Twitter feeds. More information about the Huntsville Symphony is at hso.org.